Live from the capital of Raider Nation, Las Vegas, Nevada. It's Silver and Black Today, your daily dose of all things Las Vegas Raiders football. News, views, guests, and your phone calls are all part of the game plan. There's only one nation, and it listens here. Now your host, Scott Culbranson.
31 Sundays to go, ladies and gentlemen. That's right. The official offseason of the NFL begins today. Super Bowl 55 in the books. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers 31, the Chiefs 9. Were you surprised? I was. I thought it would be a close game, but I thought the Chiefs would prevail. I think a lot of us got fooled into getting used to Patrick Mahomes bailing out the Kansas City Chiefs offensive line. Hey, everybody, it's Scott Culbranson. Welcome back to Silver and Black Today, powered by our good friend Sam and Ash, the injury attorneys, 702-820-1234, and the Super Bowl that all Raider fans oscillated on, because how do you root for Tommy Fumble? And how do you root for the Chiefs, your in-division rival, hated rival? But Tom Brady, he did it again, folks. Just did it again. And yes, of course, the Buccaneers defense, amazing. Some of those guys, you could have very easily, especially Devin White, the linebacker, 8 tackles, 1 interception. Just an amazing performance. A guy the Raiders could have drafted, right? Some of you pointed that out. They took Cleveland Furrell in the first round 2 years ago. They could have taken Devin White. But no, they went with Furrell. They went up front. But nonetheless, the Buccaneers, I think, not only did they do it with their defense, but they did it with the offense too. It was so efficient. You look at Leonard Fournette. All the guys that contributed who really won this game on offense for the Buccaneers, they came in with Tom Brady. They wanted to go play with Tom Brady in Tampa. You have Gronkowski, Rob Gronkowski. You have Fournette. You have Antonio Brown. Remember that guy? Yeah. Yeah, he only had 22 yards, but he had a touchdown. He was significant in the game, 6 receptions, or 5 receptions, I should say. But the Buccaneers, I'm going to tell you here, and I want to hear what you guys have to say and what you thought of the game. 702-365-9200 is the Raider Nation radio listener hotline. You can get on with me and tell me what you thought of the game. But here's my breakdown, basically. For all of you that were saying, that's why you need a defense. That's why the Raiders need a defense. Don't trade a quarterback. And I agree. Raiders need to build their defense as well. It was a good example. The Chiefs' defense is okay. They're not great, right? They got exposed a little bit. Not only that, and we'll get to the offense, but I want to say more than anything, there's 2 things I'm going to lead off with. One, you're going to hate, and that is you just cannot deny that Tom Brady is the greatest to ever play the position. I'm not saying he's the best technical quarterback to ever play the position. The guy's got 7 rings, okay? He elevated that entire roster 7-9 a year ago with Jameis Winston at quarterback, the turnover machine. This defense played well because they had an offense that could move the ball. Ah, complimentary football, ladies and gentlemen. You heard that before, right? So Tom Brady, 7 championships, 7 rings, Super Bowl championships, okay? He has more than any NFL franchise. You cannot deny the greatness that is Tom Brady. I'm sorry. I don't like him either, but I'll tell you what, I respect the hell out of him. And he's the man. He did it again. He just did it again. 21 of 29, only 200 yards. 3 touchdowns. Passer rating of almost 126, 125.8 to be exact. And then the young phenom, Patrick Mahomes. Not a good day. 26 of 49, 270, 2 picks, no touchdowns. If I would have told you the Chiefs will not have a touchdown in this game, imagine if you bet $10 on that. I might have retired. No, not that much, but it would have been a significant amount. There's no way anyone would have guessed the Chiefs do not score a touchdown. Todd Bowles is the MVP, ladies and gentlemen. Todd Bowles, defensive coordinator for those Buccaneers. Yes, the former head coach of the New York Jets. There's a theme there. Coaches with the Jets, with the exception of the last one, probably not bad coaches, just bad organization. But Todd Bowles completely, and Bruce Arians' staff, by the way, Byron Leftwich on offense, they completely outcoached the Kansas City Chiefs. And the Chiefs, Andy Reid, had probably the worst coached game, big game in his career. It's just no denying it. Yes, they had injuries up front. That played into it. Yes, Mahomes got the turf toe. I get it. But what Todd Bowles did was remarkable. Because you know what he did? He basically split safeties. He played two high safeties, which basically meant you had a soft box, which basically told the Kansas City Chiefs, you ain't going to beat us with Tyreek Hill. Yeah, you'll get the ball to Travis Kelce. He'll get his receptions, and he did. He had 15 for 133 yards. Did he have a touchdown? Nope. Did he change the course of the game? Nope. So what they did with the two high safeties and splitting them that way on the back end was they said, okay, we're going to play a soft box. Guess what you got to do? You got to run the ball. Hey, Andy Reid, you got to run the ball to beat us, pal. And Andy Reid didn't do it. Andy Reid, who has had a bad offensive line that was made worse by injury, left his offensive linemen on an island. Screwed. They had no chance. They couldn't protect Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes couldn't get time in the pocket. He couldn't do anything. So that was the recipe for disaster for if you're a Chiefs fan. If you're a Bucs fan, brilliant strategy. Because the Chiefs didn't run. Even when they knew they weren't going to be able to get the ball deep, they knew they weren't going to be able to do it. But guess what? They couldn't. And their offensive line, they made the same mistake that the Green Bay Packers made against the Buccaneers 2 weeks ago. They kept going to the drop back pass situation, looking downfield. Couldn't do it. I mean, Andy Reid, where were the screens? Where were the runs? Edwards-Helaire, 64 yards, 9 carries, just 9 carries. If you would have ran the ball more, I'm not saying the outcome would have been different, but I'm telling you, it would have been a much closer game. It was a terrible coaching performance by Andy Reid and the Chiefs. Just terrible. And so you look at what happened and what Todd Bowles was able to do with that two high split safety set, and the Buccaneers just dialed up the right thing. Maybe they learned a couple things from the Raiders. They pressured Mahomes. Mahomes couldn't get the ball off. He could not pass the ball. So he has a terrible performance. The Chiefs have a terrible performance overall. And the Buccaneers are the champs, right? They did it. And so, you know, it's you can go back and forth about the defense. And yes, 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 Tampa Bay's defense deserves a lot of credit. And yes, you win with defense. And I'll tell you what, though. In the NFL, you need three things to win a Super Bowl. You ready for this? You need a good offensive line. Chiefs don't have it, right? You need a good defensive line, and I'll throw linebackers in there too, just to be certain. You need a pass rush. You need to pressure the quarterback, plain and simple. And then you need high-level quarterback play. Those are the three ingredients to becoming a world champion football team in the NFL today, okay? That's what you need, and that's what the Buccaneers did. Good quarterback play, good offensive protection for their quarterback. Yes, the Chiefs' defense isn't that great, but still, they protected Tom Brady, gave him the time he needed to get the ball out. And Tom Brady did what Tom Brady does. And I understand Raider Nation doesn't like Tom Brady for the reasons you don't like him. I get it. I don't disagree with you. But you cannot deny how great he is. If you deny how great he is, then you're not watching football and you're letting your fandom get in the way of actually seeing what this guy does. He elevated the entire roster. All right, we're going on the phone. Raider 27, you're with Scott here on Silver and Black today. What'd you think of the game yesterday, my man?
Hey, hi, Scott. I love the game. I think it's great. Anytime the Chiefs get stomped on, that's fine with me. You know, I might as well have hung up because you just said everything that I was basically going to say. I watched the Raiders play the Chiefs at Kansas City. Mm-hmm. And it was amazing how similar the game was to the Super Bowl because we found a pass rush from somewhere.
Yep.
We chased Mahomes all over the place. They got behind. The Chiefs didn't want to run the ball. We're sitting back there in that two deep, and it's just like, we're not going to let you beat us. You're not getting over our head. You're going to have to throw everything underneath, and we're going to rally up and make the tackle. And it was a simple scheme, but I got to tell you, you've heard me say this ever since you guys were on YouTube. It takes three phases of football mm-hmm. to have a good team.
Right.
You've got to have a good quarterback. We've got the eighth-ranked quarterback in the NFL. You've got to have good special teams. Okay, our special teams are okay. Our special teams are good enough to win a Super Bowl. They're not great. They're good enough. Mm-hmm. And you got to have a really good defense. And the more Super Bowls that I watch, you can go back and if you have NFL Game Pass, go back and watch a bunch of Super Bowls. Mm-hmm. A really good defense is almost as important as a really good quarterback.
Yeah.
Because what the Tampa Bay Buccaneers did yesterday to the supposedly elite offense that nobody could stop was it just made my heart sing. Because what they did was I haven't had a chance to go back and really watch it. I'll watch all story too, but they basically did what the Raiders did. They got after Mahomes and they sat back and with a lot of guys back in coverage and they covered the receivers.
Yeah.
And another thing that helped Tampa Bay is that officiating crew does not let the defensive back hold.
Yeah, so that was the thing with the Chiefs. Now I know there was a lot of opinions, and there was some bad calls. Don't get me wrong. I never excuse the officiating because I think the officiating in the NFL this season particularly got really bad late. Earlier on in the year, it seemed like it was fine, and then all of a sudden, the last 4 or 5 weeks of the season, including the playoffs, have been terrible. And so there were bad calls. There's no question about it. But the Chiefs put themselves in the position to be on the bad end of bad calls.
Exactly.
So at the end of the day, I blame the Chiefs for that. And you're right. The Chiefs have gotten away with holding, especially in the defensive backfield, Tyrann Mathieu and with the cornerbacks, Breland, those guys. They've been getting away with holding all season long. And in the Super Bowl, they didn't.
Well, you know, the thing of it is you might get away with it. And then all of a sudden, they're like, you know what? I've seen that guy hold 3 times. I'm throwing the flag.
Right.
You know,
no, that's right.
It's like that kind of stuff happens, you know. So anyway, that's all I got. I'll save time for everybody else. I know everybody's home with a Super Bowl hangover today. They won't call. So, Scott, man, I hope I brung it. I don't know. I think Hondo got a hangover today. He's not with me. Huh?
No, he's got some travel today, so he's not able to be with us. He'll be back on Wednesday.
I got to travel.
That's right. Raider 27. Thanks, my man. We appreciate you very much. That opens up a line 702-365-9200. And that was the thing, too. I was mixing it up with some of you out there in Raider Nation who were going nuts about calls. Oh, see, Brady gets the calls. Let me tell you something. There was some bad calls. There's bad calls in every game. But that's not why the Chiefs lost. The Chiefs. And I'll tell you what, I'm guilty of it. I'm raising my hand right now. You can't see me, but I'm raising my hand. I'm guilty of it. For the last 2 years, the Chiefs' offensive line is not that good. And now they were banged up and they had 2 starters out. They weren't good to begin with. But Patrick Mahomes has a way of getting them out of those messes. So I think we've all bought into that, at least those of us in the media, that Patrick Mahomes, he's so good, he does the impossible. Makes it look easy, right? And he almost did it a couple times yesterday, too. But he does that, and that takes away from recognizing the deficiencies that this Chiefs team had. And again, I picked the Chiefs to win, so it's not revisionist history here. I'm being honest with you. I was wrong. But we've gotten so spoiled by what Mahomes is able to do on that Chiefs squad that we bought into it and overlooked the fact that they really don't have a good offensive line. And they've relied on that talent, the ability of Patrick Mahomes to get out of tough situations and get the ball downfield. But then you run into the Buccaneers, who stopped them from going downfield, who contained Mahomes, much like the Raiders did early in the season when they handed them their only defeat in the regular season. And you see why the Chiefs are not even close to becoming what some people said they would be, which was the next Patriots, like the dynasty. And I know my colleague JT the Brick before me has been going crazy on that mantle that they're not a dynasty. And he's right. He's right. Look, I have a lot of friends in Kansas City, all that stuff. Great. They're a good football team. They're still the team to beat in the Western Division. There's no question. The Chiefs are the team the Raiders need to overcome to do what they want to do, and that's win a championship, okay? But I will tell you, that that is not a good offensive line. And the Chiefs have to address it. But can they? That's the question I'm asking now. Can they address it? Do they have the money? Do they have the ability to go out and get that offensive line right? And I don't think so. I just mentioned the reason the Buccaneers won the Super Bowl was because they have a good offensive line, a good defensive line, and a quarterback. That's how you win in the NFL. Okay? So if the Chiefs don't have a good offensive line, how much can Patrick Mahomes take? How long can he last? Because when you have that kind of talent, and I don't think it's deniable, when you have that kind of talent, you need to protect them, right? So if you can't protect Patrick Mahomes, you're not going to win another Super Bowl. And the Chiefs are not even close to being a dynasty because they've won one Super Bowl in 55 years. Okay, so I was it made me sick before the game because they're talking about, well, Tom Brady's got six, Patrick Mahomes now in his second straight Super Bowl, he could catch him, he could maybe he's the one. It's like, what are you talking about? He's won one. When he wins three or four, then come talk to me, CBS. Don't tell me Patrick Mahomes could win more than Tom Brady because it ain't happening. Unless he gets there to four or five, then you can talk about it. But the kid had one Super Bowl. And then he comes out and you're talking about him catching Tom Brady. Come on. Let's be real here. What do you guys think? 702-365-9200 is the number. But there are lessons, and we'll talk about them a little later. Lessons about, I think, what you can learn from this game and this playoffs for the Raiders. Yes, their defense needs to get better. Blah, blah, blah. We know that. Nobody's questioning the defense needs to get better. But as I've been saying for the last 5 weeks, the Raiders have to be careful too at offensive line. They need to figure out, if they're not bringing Trent Brown back, then how are you going to fill that gap? How are you going to fill that hole? How are you going to keep not only the offensive line from being a premier offensive line to protect Derek Carr, to open up holes for Josh Jacobs, but what are you going to do for depth? Because there's injuries. I mean, you saw it with the Chiefs. The Chiefs weren't good to begin with, and then they lose two guys. So you got to tell me what the Raiders are going to do there too. I think people are overlooking it because the need on defense is so great, and I get that, and that is priority number one. But to me, priority number two is not another quarterback. Priority number two is not another running back, although I think that's close. It's, I think, to shore up the lines, both lines. You need defensive linemen. You need that alpha dog on defense. You also need depth at offensive line. And I hope they make the decision. I know the new year doesn't start till March 17th, so when you hear about transactions, they won't actually be official till March 17th. But if they're going to move on from Trent Brown, they should do it now and figure out how they're going to replace him, because that is key to this offense staying in a top 10 situation. All right, we're going out to Brian in Henderson. Brian, you're on with Scott here on Silver and Black today. What's up, man?
Hey, good afternoon, Scott. Calling today because I would just wish that the Raiders would be more, stop being afraid in free agency. Look at Tampa Bay. They were 6-10. Yeah, and they got Tom Brady. Yes, we were looking at them, at Tom Brady, and see what he did. I'm not saying we would have won the Super Bowl, but who knows? I guarantee you we would have made the playoffs. Yeah. But it seems like we're afraid. Yeah, we go out and get free agents like AB now, who has a Super Bowl, and Leonard Fournette, who we had a chance to get. But these organizations aren't afraid, to step up and pull the trigger. It just seems like John Gruden won't do that.
Well, it's interesting. I see where you're going with that, and on some of it I agree with you, and others I don't, because I think they did pull the trigger on wrong guys. Malik Collins, yeah, remember?
But is it just us, Scott? It just seems like it's just happened to the Raiders where our free agents don't pan out.
Yeah, well,
but every other organization, it works for them, but not for us. And I'm not even saying Super Bowl. Like I said, playoffs.
Yeah, well, but look, let's look at a couple things. And I know what you're saying, but you talk about Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski. I mean, those guys, those are outliers because those guys are both Hall of Fame guys. Those guys have won multiple rings already, okay? And then Leonard Fournette, who was a guy who yeah, I thought, you know, if you didn't have a running back or if you had a running back, and they have Jones in Tampa, so it wasn't – they were able to bring in those guys. And Antonio Brown, the same thing. Antonio Brown went to the Raiders – and for whatever reason, they couldn't manage him. They couldn't get him. He went nuts, and we all know what happened. But for some reason, Tom Brady, and I think it's that because you have those alpha dogs. With somebody, when you come in and play with Tom Brady, there's an expectation. There's an expectation, and there's a sense of leadership. And it's Tom Brady's team. It just is, right? And so, he demands something from them. And for whatever reason, the Raiders roster, which is why I've said, and I know my partner Q, who's going to come on with us here in a few minutes, what we always say is you need that alpha dog. It doesn't have to be the quarterback. In this case, it is. It's Tom Brady, okay? And you have a couple on the defense, too, for Tampa Bay. But I think that's what's missing. But you're right. I understand what you're saying is go big. The Buccaneers, they were 7-9 last year, and they felt like, boy, if you look at the numbers and you take away Jameis Winston giving the ball all the time, the Buccaneers probably would have won 11 games, maybe 12 games last year, even with a decent quarterback that wasn't named Tom Brady, that wasn't turning the ball over so much. So I agree with you. I think the Raiders will be, though, what you want them to do, I think they will do this offseason when it comes to addressing that defense, Brian.
Thanks, Scott.
Yeah, take care, man. Thanks for the call. All right, we're going to take our first break. When I come back, I will dial up Q Myers. Your boy Q will be with me. We're going to talk more a little bit about the Super Bowl, how it relates to the Raiders, and a little bit about why the game went down the way it did. You're listening to Silver and Black today here on Raider Nation Radio.
If you believe Tom Brady did fumble and that Franco Harris didn't catch that pass and call it the Immaculate Deception, then you found the right place. This is Silver and Black today on Raider Nation Radio 920 AM.
Welcome back. Silver and Black today here on this Monday, the day after the NFL season has officially ended, of course. The Kansas City Chiefs can't score a touchdown. They lose to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers 31-9. And now joining me is my guy, Q Myers, your boy Q, who is here today. And we're going to talk a little bit about our reaction to the Super Bowl as we did in the first segment. But I wanted to get Q in on this and get his thoughts. Q, first of all, the game was kind of blah. I mean, I thought it was going to be a close game. It was not a close game. And who would have thought the Chiefs not scoring a touchdown?
Yeah, no, it was amazing that Tampa Bay held Kansas City out of the end zone. But I'll tell you, and I've heard a lot of people say that same thing, like, oh, it was kind of boring, oh, it was kind of blah. I'm just a different dude, and that kind of defensive performance, yeah, what Tampa Bay was able to do in shutting down Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, that was exciting for me. And it's funny because all week long I had talked about, I felt like it was going to be very Super Bowl 50-like, and that was, you know, the Panthers lost to Denver, and that was really because Denver's defense was so good. Well, it turns out that it was more like Seattle over Denver, you know, when the ball went over, snapped over Peyton Manning's head to begin with, and it's like that was the wrap right there. Well, it just kind of felt the same, you know. It felt like, hey, this is going to be one of these outstanding defensive performances. And really, if you want to go even further back, kind of like Tampa Bay when they defeated the Raiders.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, if you really want to be 100% honest, going back to the Super Bowl where the Raiders lost to John Gruden in Tampa Bay, it was very defensive heavy. Now, there wasn't quite as many turnovers as there was in that game, but still, it was just, you could just see that dominant defense really showing up snap after snap after snap. And so I just sat back and thought, man, we have just witnessed some greatness offensively and defensively. And of course, Tom Brady, he just makes everyone around him better. And that's why I said that it was a lot of good offensive performance as well.
Yeah, of course, Tom Brady finishes the day 21 of 29, 200 yards, 3 touchdowns, a passer rating of 125.8 compared to Patrick Mahomes, who is 26 of 49. 270 yards, 2 picks, no touchdowns, of course, as we just mentioned, and a passer rating of 52. But Q, I'll tell you, as I said earlier on in the show, I look at this game, and you're absolutely right. The defense made all the difference. But if you look at football. And people are, you know, a lot of Raider fans were chiming in as I was watching the Twitter feed during the game. Oh, see what happens when you have a great defense. That is absolutely true. But at the end of the day, if you really break it down, if you break down what makes an NFL team a championship team, it's three things. It's quarterback play, it's offensive line, and it's defensive line, right? And you saw it yesterday on both sides with this game with the Buccaneers and the Chiefs, because the Chiefs' offensive line, missing two starters, yes, but they weren't that great to begin with. I think a lot of people forgot, Q, that this offensive line for Kansas City is not that great. The Raiders exploited it, frankly, in their win over the Chiefs earlier this season. And the Chiefs have been kind of, in my view, even though I picked them in this game and I really thought they would win the game by 10 points, I think we all overlook the fact that this team has been winning despite the fact that they continue not to address the offensive line.
No, you're right. And Patrick Mahomes would do that for you. You know, I mean, having Patrick Mahomes and what he's able to do, he is, and I had a guy in Kansas City tell me one time, he's like the best perfume ever because he covers up all stink. You know what I mean? Like, he just does. I mean, any kind of stink that the team may have gets overlooked because Patrick Mahomes is so good. And you're right. He's been overcoming, even though the offensive line has been bad. And then it obviously reared its ugly head in a major way on Sunday. But, you know, he almost ran for 500 yards trying to scramble. You know, I mean, he literally ran for like 497 yards in scramble yards on Sunday. The only other close to that was when the Raiders beat him early in week five in the regular season. He was around almost 400 something yards as well. So the offensive line has been issues and been a major issue for the Chiefs all season long, and it just reared its ugly head again, you know, and you got to give Todd Bowles and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers credit for being able to do that. But I'll tell you, as much as I've given them a lot of praise for the defense, it's not like they were real complicated. I mean, right. It was just basic football. You're fast on the outside and you're strong up the middle. I mean, really, I mean, that's really all it was. You use speed and strength and you can win. And that's what they did.
Well, and that defensive line, I mean, you look at what Pierre Paul was able to do. You looked at then in the linebacker core with Devin White, who I know Raider fans are familiar with, and the whole thing with Cleveland Farrell starts coming up again. But, I mean, you're right, the speed there. But also, I want to talk about a little bit, Q. I mentioned it earlier, but I want to get your reaction to it, too, because I really strongly believe that this was a can of whoop ass from a coaching perspective, because Todd Bowles, Bruce Arians, that defense and that game plan that Tampa had against Kansas City was phenomenal. In fact, you know, you could say Devin White might have just deserved the MVP award. You could say Todd Bowles, even though he's not a player, could have deserved an MVP almost because of what he came up with defense. But I'm fascinated by this because what they did. And this is where I think to me, the worst performance that Andy Reid's had in the postseason as a coach, and I'll tell you why. You look at what the Buccaneers are able to do. The Buccaneers basically ran two high safeties. They split the safeties, right? And so what that tells you is that, hey, we're going to give you a light box. You got to run the ball. You're going to have to run the ball to beat us, Kansas City. And why did Todd Bowles do that? Because he knew the offensive line was trash. But Kansas City didn't even try to run the ball. When they did run the ball, they were actually somewhat successful. Yep. But they didn't do it. And so to me, you have – and this is where I know fans, sometimes they don't get into the nuances, Q. But, you know, you look at a game and say, well, yeah, the Buccaneers defense dominated. And absolutely, it deserves all the credit in the world. Don't get me wrong. But at the same time, the coaching mistakes on Kansas City's side were just massive. They never adjusted. They almost did exactly what Green Bay did against the Buccaneers in the defense. In Green Bay, LaFleur would not get out of that drop back pass game. He wouldn't try to run the ball. He couldn't do anything. He couldn't do anything to help his tackles. And Kansas City didn't do anything to help their backup tackles who were starting in the game. And it was just a disaster.
Yeah, it was. It was. It didn't give Patrick Mahomes any kind of chance, you know, and he still tried to turn, lemons into lemonade and almost did it a few times. I mean, that just shows you how stinking good he is. I mean, just the launch angles of his arm and just being able to throw the ball while he's basically, planking. I mean, you know what I mean? That's just like, it's just incredible the talent that dude is and the athlete that he is. But he didn't have enough to be able to overcome what Tampa Bay was doing. And like you said, some of the coaching decisions that Kansas City made, including calling a timeout before the halftime. Oh, yeah. When they probably shouldn't have called a timeout. You know, they gave Tom Brady extra time. Also had a lot of penalties, you know, and I know some of the penalties were a little suspect, but remember, the Chiefs led the league in penalties. I mean, they were a heavily penalized team all season long. So, again, all these same things that – they were able to overcome in the regular season came back to, like I said before, rear their ugly head in the Super Bowl in the worst stage ever to have all the issues show up at the same time. They all showed up again.
They did. And I said Friday, Q, on this show that I felt that the Chiefs would win, but I said the Bucs would have to play a near-perfect game to have a shot to win. And I think they did that from that perspective. Even Brady, and people are like, well, Brady doesn't deserve the MVP. He didn't have that big in numbers. Brady, though, did what he had to do. And I think the thing that's understated a lot, and Bruce Arians talked about his relationship with Tom Brady after the game, was that if you look at the Bucs earlier in the season, even when they played the Raiders here in Las Vegas and beat them, when you look at it, Arians over time adapted and basically succumbed to Tom Brady instituting the Patriots offense back in Tampa Bay, because it was much more of the Brady kind of methodical New England offense than it was of the Arians kind of get aggressive defense. Now, there's parts of it too, but if you look at how they did this, he won this game going to Gronk, going to Antonio Brown of all people, right? Because if you look at Mike Evans, if you look at Godwin, they did not have a huge day. He went to guys that he trusts. And this is how he's won seven Super Bowls. He's done the same thing every time.
Well, I mean, he went to guys that weren't on the team last year.
Yes,
That's what's funny, you know. Gronk, he showed up to be vintage Gronk. You know, Fournette, he was the guy that Jacksonville thought that they were getting when they drafted him. AB, he showed up when he needed to. I mean, it's just as simple as that. You know, the guy elevates the people around him, and like you mentioned, goes to the people that he trusts, and he knows what they can do. And that's, really, when you say that, you're really talking about Gronk. I mean, that's the dude that he knows and knows exactly what he's going to do on the biggest stage, and that's what he's always done on the biggest stage. Gronk has always been, if you go back and look at a lot of these Super Bowl wins, Gronk is like the best dude on the field. I mean, he just is. And he was. You could argue that he was the best dude on the field on Sunday. I mean, he was playing strong. He was playing fast. And when Brady needed that guy, he showed up.
Yeah, and there's no doubt that the Bucs were helped by penalties. There's no question. But like you said, the Chiefs have been committing penalties all season long. And the Chiefs, as I saw a lot of Raider fans discussing as well, have been holding all season long, especially in the defensive backfield, right? That's a little bit of how they play. They're very handsy. They get caught sometimes. That's why the penalties were so high. And they did it in the Super Bowl, and it frustrated the Honey Badger, Tyrann Mathieu. You saw him, the interception that was called back, all that stuff. But I'll tell you what, again, I just think you look at this game, and if you're a Raiders fan, Q, and you're thinking about how do the Raiders get to the point where they're going to win a Super Bowl, again, it's those two lines and quarterback play. If you can do what the Buccaneers were able to do yesterday and have that speed on defense, have the difference makers, because you had 2-3 alpha dogs on that Bucs defense. Doesn't mean they're the best players in the NFL. They're very good players, don't get me wrong. And they played well on the biggest stage you can. But I think that's where you look at the Raiders and what they need to address. You look at the Super Bowl and you say, hey, look, see, all you need is 1, 2, 3 guys who can elevate that side of the ball, who can elevate the thinking, elevate the play of the rest of the young guys around them, and you can be looking at a defense that's just as formidable.
You know, you're right. I mean, it takes a lot of talent, but then at the same time, it takes, like you said, those alpha dog guys that can make everyone else around them better. I mean, guys that were exposed the first time that the Chiefs played Tampa Bay, and they knew that they weren't going to get exposed this time. You know, I think a lot of it had to do with the great preparation that they had. I mean, they did. You mentioned it earlier. The game plan that Todd Bowles and company, they all had lined up. It was perfect, you know, and those guys went in there with the confidence that not only are we going to win this game, we're going to beat the brakes off them, and that's exactly what they did.
Yeah, they did. And I'm still, again, I just go back to the coaching and what they're able to do. And if you're the Chiefs, like you've been to two consecutive Super Bowls, and you look at this and you say, okay, you have your receivers, you have your running backs, you have your tight end, obviously world-class tight end. You need offensive linemen. But can the Chiefs go get the guys they need, Q, with the salary cap issues that they're going to have? I just don't know. And so all this talk of this Chiefs, you know, during the first part of the game, the announcers, and I like Nance and I like Romo, but they're talking about, well, geez, could, you know, Tom Brady might get his seventh Super Bowl. Could Patrick Mahomes get to 5 or 6 or 7 Super Bowls? And you're like, what are you talking about?
Right.
Like, seriously, where is this idea that the Chiefs, and I'm not just saying this to placate Raider fans, Q, but where is this talk that the Chiefs are going to be some dominant force in the NFL forever? Yeah, they got a great offense, but as you can see, with a good game plan and talented defense, you can thwart that offense in one big game like this. And you might not be able to control them or stop them over the course of a 16 or 17 week season, right? They're going to get theirs. But in one big game, when you need it to come up, if you have the defense, if you have the speed, if you can shut down Tyreek Hill like they did yesterday, if you can contain Travis Kelce, where, yeah, you give him his yards, you give him his receptions, he did well, but he never broke it open. He was never able to really take the game on his shoulders and do it. In fact, Todd Bowles said, hey, Andy Reid, you got to run the ball if you want to beat us. And he didn't.
Right, right. No, Travis Kelce was never Gronkowski. No. he had more yards than him receiving, but he didn't have the catches that mattered. He didn't get him into the end zone. He didn't come up with the big play on third down. Matter of fact, he put one on the ground on third down that could have extended a drive. I mean, you know, he just didn't come up big like Gronk did for Tampa Bay. And so it's just, again, man, I enjoyed every bit of it. I enjoyed watching it, and not because the Chiefs lost or anything, because, I mean, really, I don't have a dog in the hunt when it comes to the game. I just love the performance by the defense. I love the fact that the coaching staff had a great game plan going into the game. And really, watching that game made me go back to the conversation we had just a week ago with Greg Townsend. And we'd asked him, or you asked him specifically about the game and who he thought was going to win. And he said, hey, I just look at the sidelines. What team has more guys that were former players on the coaching staff? Mm-hmm. And he looked over at Tampa Bay and said, that's who I'm rolling with, because they have all that experience. And, well, to me, that experience really showed up in a major way.
It did. And I think, too, you know, again, bringing it back to Raiders football, I think if you look at the situation, because so many Raider fans, and I understand it, Q, they feel like the Raiders are so far away. And I look at a game like yesterday and I say, no, you know what? If you got to go get the guys, right? You got to go get the dogs on defense. There's no question about it. But at the same time, I look at what they are able to do and how they were able to control that game. The question, though, is are the Raiders going to do enough to get into that realm? I think Kansas City, you know, we'll see what their offseason's like, but I think they're pretty vulnerable. Now, I'm not saying they're not still a very good team and the team to beat, because they clearly are, especially with the kid at quarterback. It's just the way it is. But I do think if you look at that game and you're a Raiders fan, the takeaway is, yes, you got to get better on defense, but at the same time, it's also that I think that coaching matters. You got to make sure, and we'll see what Gus Bradley does on defense, you got to make sure you got the right guys who know how to put together a game plan and are able to do that. Now, I think the Raiders on defense, obviously, new staff, we'll see how they do. On offense, I still think there's question marks with John Gruden, and he's not real creative. He's not real. He's not an Andy Reid type offensive guy. He's as we know, he likes to run the ball and all that stuff. But I think if you're looking at the Super Bowl and thinking, how do the Raiders get there? There's some to take away from what Tampa did. Not only with that defense, but also with adapting and really forcing themselves to take the talent they have, because it was all new this year. They all came in the building this year, and using it appropriately.
Well, I'll say, I mean, offensively for Tampa Bay, they were very balanced. You know what I mean? Like, they were very, very balanced. They had a heavy dose of the run game. Fournette was great. Rojo was great, except for when he got stopped on the goal line twice. But I thought that was the wrong player in there. I thought Fournette should have been at the goal line, but that's just me. But, I mean, they were very, very balanced. You know, Tom Brady, like you mentioned, only threw for 200 yards, but that's all he needed to throw for. You know, I think he threw, what, 9 passes in the second half at the most? Yep. I mean, he didn't hardly even have to put the ball in the air in the second half. It was about the ground game. It was the fact that they were worn down, you know, that Chiefs defense was worn down, and Fournette was just gashing them. And honestly, I mean, that's what John Gruden wants to do. John Gruden wants to wear you down with the run. He wants to, you know, be able to throw the ball 30 times max in a game and call it a day. I mean, and that's honestly, ideally, I believe that's how you win games, is to have that balanced attack. You know, it's just sometimes it's not the run game for the Raiders isn't as effective as it needs to be early, and right, then it can't be as effective later on. So, I mean, you just got to figure out how to balance it out a little bit better. But I think that the approach that the Raiders take offensively is creative enough to win and win a lot of games and get to where you need to go. They just got to be able to stop someone on the other end and make that other team uncomfortable. And clearly Kansas City was uncomfortable on Sunday.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, the Raiders need to address that defensive line. They need to address, I think, the linebacker position as well. You know, Devin White, how well he's played down the stretch shows you that. I mean, you have that speed at linebacker. I think Corey Littleton will bounce back. So I'm not worried about him. I really am not. But I do
think
he's
fast enough, though. I don't know if he's got the speed.
That's
you know,
point.
that's my biggest question. That's why I've been saying I still think a linebacker, and even your guy out of Notre Dame, I don't have a problem with them taking him at number 17 if he's available. They need that speed. Kwiatkowski's not that fast. I don't think Littleton is that fast. Maybe he was just thinking so much that he was slow. We'll see. But they need that Devin White type speed, that guy that could just diagnose a play and just good. I mean, he looked like a hot knife going through butter. I mean, he was just slicing through, blockers and all the traffic to get to the ball carry. I mean, easily he could have been the MVP of the game as well. I mean, he just was balling out of control.
No doubt about it. Now, Q, we talk about Tom Brady, right? And everybody all year, I heard was that his skills were declining. And listen, everybody, you know, you're 43 years old, and I know Tom Brady's an exercise and diet nut and all that stuff. It's become this other side story. But the idea that Brady was a system quarterback, the idea that Brady couldn't win without Belichick, the idea that Brady's arm had fallen off and he couldn't do it, I thought those were all false narratives because – well, I'm not a Tom Brady fan. I respect him. He's one of those guys where you don't like him, but you respect him. And I think that some of those narratives, you know, he might have only passed for 200 yards, but the guy knows how to manage the game. And like you said just a few minutes ago, Q, he just enters the building and everything elevates. And I think that, listen, I know he's an extreme example, but I think that's what you need in the NFL today. Whether it's your quarterback or it's some key defensive player who's just lights out, one of the best players in the league like Aaron Donald, you need one of those types of guys so that everybody in that building, you know, go back a couple weeks ago with the Aguilar rant we talked about. It's about getting guys responsible for everything, for the outcomes. It's about commitment. And a guy like Tom Brady, he went to Tampa, who was 7-9 last year. They just kept turning the ball over with Jameis Winston. And I like Jameis Winston, but he's a turnover machine. Right. And so that defense was down. And here comes the quarterback. The quarterback comes in and elevates even the defensive side of the ball. I think that's remarkable. Raider fans can dislike Tom Brady for all the right reasons, and I get it. But, dude, I just don't think you can deny what this guy is able to do and that it wasn't just Bill Belichick, that Tom Brady just has that it factor. He's able to do it.
Yeah, he does. He absolutely has that it factor. And the thing about it is a lot of people, including myself, didn't know what this experiment was going to be like at Tampa Bay because, well, he had been in New England forever. I mean, it's not like he had been bouncing around from team to team. He was only in one spot. So if someone were to say, hey, maybe he's just a product of the system, that would be fair only because, well, you know, he's only been in the system. So it's kind of like, okay, now that he's been out and he went to a team and then the first year he's there, they go to the Super Bowl and go and win the whole thing. Then all of a sudden you start to really realize like, oh man, this dude is even better than maybe we were giving him credit for to begin with. Always thought that Tom Brady was great. Always thought he was great. Never had any problem with people calling him the GOAT, but I just didn't realize how good he was going to be in year one with Tampa Bay, going to a new team, crazy offseason, training camp really, no OTAs. No, I mean, all that stuff was all just strange. And so just kind of thinking, hey, he's not going to be that great, and this team's not going to be that great, and they have, you know, guys that they brought in, but, you know, how's that going to all shake out? Well, it shook out just fine, and they did a great job, and it just shows you what great leadership brings to you, you know. And again, like you mentioned, leadership doesn't have to come from the quarterback position, but it's got to come from somewhere. It's got to be a guy in that locker room that could, like you said, make everyone else around him better. And Tom Brady got into the building, and everybody, I mean, the janitor got better, you know, the guy who cleans up the field, he got better. I mean, everyone got better because there's kind of like an expectation. If you're going to be around Tom Brady, you're with greatness, and you better be great too. You don't want to let him down. And so I just think it made everyone kind of check their egos at the door and just really they were a team, and that team won on Sunday.
Yeah, well, the NFL season is officially over. We're going to step aside and take a break. We come back, I'm going to ask you a couple questions about the NFL overall, the quarterback carousel, and then we'll also get a Monday edition of the Q-Tip. You're here with Q and Scott on Silver and Black today, only on Raider Nation Radio.
If you believe Tom Brady did fumble and that Franco Harris didn't catch that pass and call it the Immaculate Deception, then you found the right place. This is Silver and Black today on Raider Nation Radio, 920 AM.
Welcome back. Silver and Black today here on this Monday. Scott Colbranson, Q Myers with you. Q will be back with us in a second. The official offseason has begun. Will we start to see movement? You bet you we will. Won't be official till March 17th when the league new year starts. But we'll see that a little signing today. Josh Rosen, who was signed off the Patriots practice squad by the 49ers when they were running into quarterback issues at the end of the year, has agreed to a one-year contract with San Francisco there, as they're still trying to figure out what their quarterback situation will be. But I will tell you my situation before every show, you know, you need energy to do radio. You got to have that, you know, you're using your voice, but you got to have that energy, because you guys, if you just listen to somebody who drones on, you think you're listening to NPR. No, seriously. But for that, what I do is I don't have a big lunch. I do meal replacement. And I do it with Dr. Jen's Ultimate Protein Bars. If you've not had a Dr. Jen's Ultimate Protein Bar, I'm telling you, you're missing out. If you're eating right, you know, you ate all that crap yesterday with the Super Bowl, all that stuff that you put in your body, get back on track. Try Dr. Jen's Ultimate Protein Bar. Great nutrition for the entire family. Certified gluten-free. Contains all natural ingredients. No artificial sweeteners or sugar alcohols. It has superfoods like quinoa, kale, and spinach. But you can't taste it. Because you know why? It doesn't taste like you're eating a boot. It tastes delicious. In fact, I don't eat candy bars anymore. When I get a sweet tooth, I want some sugar or something like that, I go for a Dr. Jen's Ultimate Protein Bar. It's a variety of great flavors. It's high in protein, helps you sustain energy without a sugar crash. Also has quality fiber to keep you full and satisfied, and also prebiotics for your GI health. It's easily digestible, and this stuff is great. You can get them on a special discount because you're a listener to the show. That's right. You can go to drjensnutrition.com and you can order them. Use the code SBT10, SBT10. You will get a special discount for being a listener of our show. Plus, you get free shipping. So check out drjensnutrition.com, Dr. Jen's Ultimate Protein Bar. That is owned by members of Raider Nation. So Raider Nation supporting Raider Nation. And trust me, if you're in Las Vegas and you say, well, I'm not sure if I want to order a box yet, go to Vegas Discount Nutrition or to a Terrible Herbst convenience store, pick one up, taste it. And I'm telling you, when you taste these things, you're going to be blown away and you're going to say, okay, Scott's not just doing an ad. He's actually, this is true. And it is. I'm telling you, the banana, peanut butter, chocolate chip is the best thing I've ever eaten when it comes to a protein bar, and it's nutritious. You can eat guilt-free. Dr. Jen's Ultimate Protein Bar, drjensnutrition.com. When we come back from the break, Q and I are going to talk a little more about the quarterback carousel. That's right. We're hearing Carson Wentz is on the move, and we're hearing maybe all that talk about the Raiders maybe being interested in a quarterback. That might be not true. It might be interested in knowing that they might move Marcus Mariota, but that Derek Carr is really not on the trading block unless somebody just blew them away. So we'll talk more about that. We'll also get the Q-tip and talk a little bit about the Hall of Fame. Yes, we're so busy talking about the Super Bowl. We haven't talked yet about Tom Flores finally getting his due for everything that he's done as a member of pro football. Tom Flores going to the Hall of Fame along with Charles Woodson. So we'll get Q's comments on that, as well as a great Q-tip, which we haven't had in a couple days. So do that. Also, we will get you involved in the show. 702-365-9200 is the number. In second hour as well, we will talk to Sam and Ash. Sam and Ash and I are going to talk about Super Bowl commercials. They used to be such the biggest deal, and they still are. But I don't hear as many people talking about it. It seems like it's kind of like losing its luster. And I want to hear what you have to say. Also, would like to hear what commercials you liked and didn't like. Which ones kind of struck a chord with you? Which ones didn't? There were some strange ones. I kind of like the strange ones because they're different. They're very expensive. So when people take a chance and do something unusual, I kind of respect brands that do that. So you can call us 702-365-9200. And then, of course, Sam and Ash will be with us later. Coming up later in the week, we're going to get into some more of Raider football. We're going to also talk with Jesse Merrick tomorrow, who joins us every Tuesday. He's a big Buccaneers fan, so we're going to get his take on his team winning the Super Bowl. We'll also talk about the Raiders, their needs, the draft. We now know the complete draft order, clearly, as we head into the NFL offseason. All right, we're going to take top of the hour break. When Q and I come back, we roll on with Silver and Black today on your station. That is, if you wear the silver and black and you're part of the lifestyle, that is, of course, Raider Nation Radio.